Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following all 82 Bulls games this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley, and you can follow us at Locked On Bulls. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Shoot us an email, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. And of course, that text and voicemail line is always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans, 331-979-1369. Got a great episode for y'all today. I just a moment ago sat down and chatted with Darnell Mayberry, one of my guys. I actually just ran into him at the United Center when we were doing Outsiders from there earlier this week. And I said, hey, man, it's been a while since we got you on Locked On Bulls. We got to get you back on. And he said, hey, man, name the time. And I said, how about Thursday? And he said, great. So we always appreciate when Darnell stops by. He's been doing a wonderful job covering the Bulls this season for The Athletic Chicago, covering the Bulls for the past several years for The Athletic. His pieces recapping games and offering his insights, is much appreciated, as is, some of the questions that he has been asking Jim Boylan this season that, that Bulls fans are really wanting the answers to. It was a great conversation. We covered a lot of ground, from the recent surge in performance from Kobe White and the debate about starting him versus leaving him in his role as a bench player. We talked about the relationship between Jim Boylan and Zach LaVine. We talked about the relationship between Jim Boylan and the front office and the rumors about change coming to the front office, and also touched on some other players like Gafford, Lauri Markkanen, and the season that was disappointing until his recent injury. Also talked about the future of Chris Dunn and some other things that may or may not be coming with certain players and their future with this organization as we head towards the offseason. It was a great conversation, a lot of great stuff from Darnell. And also towards the end, he had a great little anecdote about a strategy meeting that some of he and his fellow members of the Bulls beat had when it came to approaching a post-game press conference and how they were going to maybe not attack, but how they were going to corner Jim Boylan with a specific line of questioning. And it was really enjoyable to get a little peek behind the curtain there from Darnell about how he and some of his colleagues on the beat have been working with and operating around Jim Boylan this season. So a really great interview. I'm sure y'all are going to love it. First time we've had Darnell on in a while. So there was a lot to catch up on. So sit back, relax, and enjoy my interview with The Athletic Chicago's Darnell Mayberry. Right now, we're very pleased to welcome in to the Locked On Bulls podcast. He's one of the regulars, but it's his first time back in a while. He is Darnell Mayberry. He does a great job as the Chicago Bulls senior writer for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at Darnell Mayberry. Get all of his great content. If you aren't subscribed to The Athletic already, I highly recommend you do so, so you can get Darnell's great content there. Darnell, how you been, man?
I'm good, Matt. I'm counting down the days, though.
Counting down the days and counting down the games, right? What are we at, 23 now?
Yeah. That's just it, Matt. I'm counting down the games. 23 games left, man. This season, it's just, I don't know where you stood, but I had so many more expectations for them this season. Not that I thought they were going to be in the playoffs. I didn't. But it's just the fact that everything that almost could go wrong seemingly has. I mean, you got Zach LaVine, who had a good season, and then Lauri Markkanen, Wendell, but everyone else is just kind of there, and that's been disappointing.
It certainly has. I mean, when you think about the fact that the Bulls are closer to the worst record in the East than they are to the eighth seed, given the expectations that they laid out themselves, because that's that's something we heard from John Paxson and Jim Boylan both on Media Day, saying that, you know, we want to be a team competing for a playoff spot. That's what John said. Jim said flat out, our goal is to make the playoffs. Now, at this point, they've certainly moved the goalposts and have been talking about development. John said at the deadline, we need to get guys back and healthy on the court to see what we have. Jim saying meeting with the media just a couple days ago that he isn't expecting his job performance this season to be judged by his bosses on a win-loss record, and it's more about following through on what he's been instructed to do as far as developing these young kids. But even I'm with you. I didn't see playoffs happening this season. I thought that was too big of a jump considering how terribly last season went. But isn't it fair to say that even with those of us with milder expectations, we have taken not a step forward but a step back this season?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I mean, you still don't really know what the core of Levine, Porter, and Markkanen, and I'd throw Carter in there as well. You don't know what those guys are able to do. Kobe White, you still haven't. You know, I know there's this big, should he start or should he keep coming off the bench thing going, but you still don't know what he can do with the ball in his hands as a playmaker and leading the team. So there's just so many questions about what these guys are and are not and how good they can be together. And I just think that it's a mistake if these guys go back into the next season with these same questions. I mean, in some ways, you've got more questions than answers, 59 games into the season. And that's unbelievable.
Well, let's touch on one of the pieces of this young core because we just have seen three straight amazing performances from him. You touched on it in your latest column recapping that game against Oklahoma City. Kobe White, there has been a lot of noise around his name recently in the media and among the fan base talking about the do and don't of potentially starting Kobe. And I mean, some fans were calling for the team to start Kobe out of the gate this season. They've been riding with Satoransky, and then when Otto went down and a couple other pieces, you know, Chris Dunn became that guy, especially for what he brings the Bulls on the defensive end for Jim Boylan all season long. At this point, I think in your latest column, you said what a lot of us are thinking, which is with the playoffs, a pipe dream at this point, completely unrealistic, and it being about development, according to the people running the team, what's the harm in starting Kobe? The counterpoint, which Jim has spoken to himself as recently as Tuesday night following the game, is he's thriving in the role he is playing now. He's playing with Zach on the court a lot of minutes. He's playing a lot of minutes overall compared to earlier this season. So why mess with a good thing if Kobe's playing well right now? What's your take?
Yeah, I mean, I tried to recap it in the piece. It's just the fact that this team is going nowhere and fast. That's my biggest thing. Yeah, I understand Kobe's getting more minutes now. He's closing games, which helps, but it hasn't always been that way. I mean, I think the last five games before the break, that's the only time he was averaging more than like 30 minutes. So, but I think in 20 some odd games, he was only averaging like 23.5 minutes. So, for the Bulls and Jim Boylan to act like Kobe's minutes have just shot up, that's not entirely true. I mean, he did play more, like I said, the last five games before the break. He's playing more after the break. But look what's needed to happen in order for that to happen. They're down seven players. They only have nine healthy players. They're 19 games under 500, 6.5 games out of the eighth spot. Like, this team is headed nowhere. And now, only now, does Kobe really get these opportunities and he responds with three straight 30-point games. I mean, that just shows you that the guy needs more opportunities. Ryan Arcidiacono should not be playing over him. I'm at the point where Thomas Satoransky shouldn't be playing over him. When this team is good, Thomas Satoransky and Ryan Arcidiacono aren't going to be here. Kobe White is supposed to be your future. Let the kid play, especially in a season like this where everything almost that could go wrong has gone wrong, and you're playing for nothing left in these last 20-some-odd games.
And, you know, Kobe's the latest example, but the fan base was going through a similar frustration wanting to see more of Daniel Gafford earlier on this season when he wasn't really in the rotation at all, when the entire front court was healthy, Wendell hadn't gotten hurt yet, Lowry hadn't gotten hurt yet, and Boylan was rolling with Kornet. Even in that defensive system that was asking Kornet to go out and, you know, like guard people around the perimeter, which he has certainly proved that he is not capable of doing, Gafford gets in there. And like, I think it was like a game against the Milwaukee Bucks where he got his first real run of the season. And was like the team's leading scorer in the first half, not to mention all the blocks and all the rebounds. Gafford, since coming back from the ankle, has had a couple of tough assignments. You mentioned that in your piece too. You know, Ayton is no easy task. Steven Adams the other night is just an absolute beast. Boylan said postgame, pound for pound, might be the strongest guy in the NBA right now. Gafford got into foul trouble early against OKC, something he's been dealing with his rookie season. And it ended up, as a result, a night where Gafford plays like 14 minutes and change, and Felicio played 32 minutes, nearly 33. But in your opinion, yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but they got a two-headed monster at center.
Two-headed monster, right. Yeah, exactly. The two-headed monster of Felicio and Gafford. I mean, yeah. that's I think, something that my fellow fans are wondering about, too, is, okay, well, foul trouble is one thing, and if you foul out, you foul out. But when the Bulls themselves are saying, again, it's about development at this point. You say that about Coby White. You could say the same thing about Gafford. They say, we don't know what we have. We have to figure out what we have. Gafford looks like a potential second-round steal as a rookie. We know what Felicio is. So how the hell do you justify equal minutes for those two, and on some nights, more, significantly more minutes for Felicio?
I'm going to say something that I might regret, but against that Thunder team, I didn't really have a problem with it. Gafford was just so overwhelmed and so outmatched by Steven Adams and Chris Paul in the pick and roll. I just don't think that it really mattered as much. I mean, like, yes, you'd like to see Gafford get extended minutes because he is, you know, your second round selection and looks like he's got some promise. And we know Felicio is another one of those guys who's not going to be here, you know, in another 2 years. So, but with that being said, Gafford struggled so much. He couldn't contend with Steven Adams, and he was getting bullied by DeAndre Ayton. So 2 games prior, the coaching staff got to see how a much more physical, a much stronger center pushed around Daniel Gafford. And it's like, all right, why are we going to waste our time letting him get bullied again by an even bigger, stronger center in Steven Adams, instead of just putting in, you know, more bulk with Cristiano Felicio, who I actually thought played okay. So I'm not going to fault – this might come as a shock, Matt, but I'm not going to fault Jim Boylan for that one, because Gafford was just so overwhelmed against Steven Adams.
I mean, I agree that he was having a real tough time with Adams, but I don't think that Felicio – I'll grant you that Felicio maybe has had some not completely useless games recently when he's been asked to do more and play more minutes, but you saw what the Thunder did when Boylan took Gafford out. In that, you know, mid to late stretch of the fourth quarter for a few moments, they went on back-to-back possessions to Steven Adams, who just absolutely cooked Felicio. So if it's damned if you do, damned if you don't, and you're not going to win and you're going to get beat either way, why not give minutes to the kid who actually could still be developing? The sort of, you know, throw him in the deep end kind of philosophy.
Yeah, well, Boylan's answer to the question was about foul trouble, which I could understand, but you know, it's not like he needed the Gafford in the last 5 minutes of that game anyway. So if he gets in foul trouble, you know, he gets in foul trouble, but you're actually letting him get some experience. So I can see both sides. I was alarmed at how much Gafford was getting kind of bullied in the post a little bit, and just because guys were so much stronger than him. And I was glad to hear him after the game talk about how much more he needs to work on his body and how much he needs to work on his core and those types of things to just improve his conditioning and his overall physicality so that he can be a better player on the floor. He's saying from going against these big monster centers that he needs to get stronger in order to be a more effective player.
We're talking with Darnell Marbury, who covers the Bulls as their senior writer for The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Darnell Mayberry. Darnell, let's now shift to the guy who has been holding it down all season for the Bulls through all of the trials and tribulations and an ugly season, Zach LaVine, who poured in another 41 points in their losing effort, but at least a valid comeback effort on Tuesday against OKC. And specifically his relationship with this head coach, Jim Boylan, because there was another video that went viral the other day that has been debunked, and it was not Zach LaVine yelling at Boylan when he was looking up at the scoreboard and saying, hey, man, like I got 40 points. Some thought maybe he was talking to a ref. It was actually confirmed by a legit source the other day that he was talking trash with Dennis Schroeder of the Oklahoma City Thunder. But even before that, you specifically were the one who asked Boylan about Zach's most recent appearance on the television broadcast reacting to a Jim Boylan timeout late in a game that was decided and the Bulls had lost. And we heard from Jim and Zach that they smoothed things over, they talked things out, but Boylan's response to you included the phrase like, you know, I'm not a mind reader. But you don't need to be a mind reader to see that visibly Zach has been frustrated with certain things Jim Boylan has done this season. What's your take on the player-coach relationship right now between this coach who has certainly, to put it nicely, abnormal tactics and his best player?
You know, it's interesting for me, Matt, because I'm still trying to figure it out. You know, this is my third season covering the team. And from everything I'm hearing that, you know, the Bulls have this track record of not being, you know, sort of a player-friendly organization and not listening to players historically, you know, kind of doing what they want. And that's certainly one way of going about it. But in 2020, in this day of player empowerment, player movement, you know, stars kind of controlling things, like, I just don't know that that's a recipe for success. And you've got a coach who is alienating at worst or irritating at best his players. And I just don't see how that's conducive to building a strong culture and building success. So, you know, they're not winning. And Jim Boylan's doing these, you know, kind of annoying, quirky things that's just, and the way I wrote it, it was extending his team's misery. You know, this is already a miserable season. And this guy's calling timeouts in the final 30, 40 seconds of games only to extend the misery of defeat. And I can understand why players are getting frustrated with that on top of the fact that the results just aren't there and they keep doing the same things and getting the same results. So there's a lot of frustration. There is a ton of frustration in that locker room. And with Zach specifically, you know, he's carried this team. And I know he's a polarizing player, but he's done everything he can. He's laced them up all 59 games. He hasn't complained. He's played through injuries, you know, and he keeps going out there and giving it his all. So, you know, a lot of people have – a couple of writers over the last couple of weeks have talked about how Zach's become a sympathetic figure, which no one has really expected, but he kind of has. If you look at his body of work this season, the fact that he – put it out there that he wanted to be an all-star. He wanted to be a better defender. And he went out there and you know, he hasn't been perfect. I'm not sitting here trying to defend Zach LaVine on his defense and, you know, his scoring in all ways. But, you know, he's been a better player. He's been a more complete player this season, and he hasn't had a lot of help, even from, you know, Larry Markkanen, Otto Porter Jr. The people who were supposed to help him just haven't been there by his side, and he hasn't gotten any much help from the bench. So in terms of the coaching staff. And so he's had a rough season, and I can understand why he's frustrated. I do give him a ton of credit for how he's handled it. Yes, there's been some cryptic comments. I'm a little surprised he hasn't said more, but I do think that he's handled it about as best as he can.
I mean, I would agree that he's handled it with an impressive amount of class and professionalism, given everything that he's had to endure this season and the lack of help that he's had. Going back to your point about this organization and having this reputation for mistreating their players, treating their players poorly, not supporting them, and that's something that has gone on and has been talked about well before you arrived on the beat, as you said, a few years ago. But even in your tenure covering this team, there have been multiple examples of the Bulls throwing their players under the bus for various reasons, but also this organization and this front office regime has a track record of quickly and guiltlessly dismissing coaches. Whether it was Vinny Del Negro, who, you know, of course, had a tumultuous relationship with John Paxson, or Tom Thibodeau, who they kicked out of town and, you know, basically kicked him, you know, on his backside on the way out, including the statement from the Reinsdorfs themselves. And then, you know, firing Fred one game after getting a healthy Lowry Markkanen back last season and picking Fred over Jimmy Butler. Like, there are examples of them treating their coaches poorly and treating their players poorly. If it comes to a breaking point here with Zach LaVine and Jim Boylan, I feel like most people who are observing this season would say LaVine is a high production player on a very team-friendly contract for the next 2 years, and Jim Boylan has proven that he is not up to the task of being an NBA head coach. So let's support Zach, and perhaps with the help of a new GM or a new, you know, empowered voice in the front office, find ourselves a new coach. Would you agree with that line of thinking?
That it would be wiser to keep Zach LaVine over Jim Boylan?
Yes, in this case, that it would be wiser for the organization to support the player and not the coach.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't even understand why it's a question. And not from you, Matt, but just from the Bulls. Jim Boylan has shown nothing to make anyone believe that he's the right guy for the job. And publicly, I don't know what's going on in practice and, you know, in their building, but publicly, he hasn't shown much of anything. That, I mean, I've seen a couple of nice out of timeout plays lately. I don't know if that's Jim or if that's Chris Fleming or who, but I haven't seen much that excuse me, leads me to believe that he's going to lead this team in the right direction. But I've seen a lot from Zach. You know, you can mention any of those games that he's gone off. Most notably that Charlotte game. I mean, there's just not a lot of guys who can do what Zach LaVine does. He has his flaws, but if you put him in some better structure and a better system with some better teammates around him, I think he could be a really, really useful player. And he wants to be a winner. He hasn't been a winner, but he wants to be a winner. And he doesn't shy away from that fact that he hasn't been to the playoffs, that he hasn't had a winning record in his six seasons in the NBA. He wants to do that. He's trying to make strides to become that player. And I think if you give up on him at 24, almost 25 years old, I think that'd be a mistake.
The Bulls are rumored to be preparing themselves for some of these changes. You know, we heard a few different reports around All-Star Weekend that they were using that weekend where, you know, the entire NBA descended upon Chicago to kind of start reaching out to a wider net of potential candidates and potential people to talk to about adding to the structure of this front office. I am curious, Darnell, what you think about what we've heard, which is essentially that they want to bring in a new voice. They want to give that new voice some power to help them get this rebuild off the ground and maybe change some things that need changing and improving, overhauling the scouting department, and you know, perhaps just adding to something that is right now not working. But also that certain names like Gar Foreman, who is by title only at this point the general manager, who's already kind of shifted to scouting, can be offered a job and will remain with the scouting department. We've also heard that the organization still very much values the voice and the guidance of John Paxson, who will be himself involved in this search for a new front office voice. Based on the reports we've heard, do you believe that real change is coming to the highest levels of structure in this organization?
I do not. This is a loyal ownership group, family, however you want to phrase it. And the men who've been in charge here have been in charge for so long that I've got to see it to believe it. And I don't think it's going to happen. And, you know, I could be wrong and I'll be surprised, but it just sounds like from everything we're hearing that, you know, the people in power are still going to be in some sort of prominent role in the front office. And as long as that's happening, I just don't see the point of expecting anything to change, because if they're making the same bad decisions that they've made. I mean, just look at the last few years. I know we talk about it all the time, but they don't just make mistakes. They compound their mistakes. And, you know, they can get off of them. You know, they call them minor mistakes that, you know, are easy or easy to fix or temporary. But when you continue to make them, I mean, like, how many times do you get to make these same mistakes over and over? And I'm talking like just terrible signings, and bad trades and just overall just futility. You know, these
not conducting a coaching search and doubling down on Jim Boylan would be the latest example.
You know, Jim Boylan putting Gafford back in the game in Toronto, like that's negligent.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, you know, I just don't understand how a certain group or people or whatever are allowed to make the same decisions for so long and not really have much to show for it. So if they're still in place, I don't expect much to change. That's just kind of where I am now, Matt.
To that end, because you mentioned the Gafford injury and why on God's, you know, on God's green earth, he was out there hobbling around in a game that was well over, playing garbage time minutes on a bad ankle. A lot of Bulls fans are also very curious with the talk about potential change, real change coming this offseason, that maybe it's not just a facelift for the scouting department and a new voice as the GM, but could that actually finally mean an overhaul of some kind with this team's strength and conditioning staff and their medical staff? Because once again, this team is being ravaged by injuries, and John Paxson once again used injuries as an excuse when he spoke to the media at deadline day, saying we got to get fresh bodies out there, even though, oh, gee, I don't know. Before Otto went down, you were, you know, 3-7. Before Wendell went down, you were like 18-28. Like, the team, with or without healthy players, has been performing poorly this season. So the injuries excuse is bogus, in my opinion. However, it seems almost too much of a trend to be a coincidence at this point that this team has struggled so much with injuries. Being somebody who has covered different NBA teams over the course of your career, do you see something different with how the Bulls operate within their building about trying to keep players healthy and failing to do so?
You know, the team I covered the longest, obviously, was the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I can tell you that Thunder fans are equally frustrated with their medical staff. I mean, they've had a long list of guys who have had, you know, either, you know, minor things that have lingered or severe things that just have been not misdiagnosed necessarily, but just kind of complicated in terms of the player coming back and the timelines kind of not meshing with what the team originally put out. And that's why teams don't like putting out timelines, because it can lead to so much public confusion and angst. But, you know, there are people who want to fire Donnie Schrack down there in Oklahoma City, you know, the team doctor, just like people want to get rid of Jeff Tanaka here and whoever else is on the strength and conditioning staff and the medical team. So I think it's just kind of part of the game at this point. I think that's just comes with the territory in professional sports to a degree. But there does seem to be a lot of curious things that have come out of Chicago in terms of the Bulls' injuries. And I don't know what the answer or what the solution is. On one hand, you know, franchises can't control players getting injured. And the Bulls have had a lot of fluke injuries. You know, they can't control Chris Dunn slamming the ball and then landing on his face. You know, they can't control Thad Young making a drive and or playing defense, however it happened, and going backing in with Chris Dunn's knee, you know, and knocking him out for pretty much the season. So, you know, those things, I don't know what you do about. But when it becomes such a trend, and they have such a long track record of this disappointing result, something you would think should be done. I don't know if that's targeting different players. I don't know if that's overhauling the staff. You know, but there is a disturbing trend that we've seen, and you know, just in my three seasons, this has been a recurring theme, and it's a problem. It's a problem that I don't know how the Bulls fix.
And as you just pointed to, it could not just be a medical staff issue, but a scouting issue, because whether it's player, you know, like Denzel Valentine, a lottery pick who, yeah, he's been a sympathetic figure this season because he's been put in Jim Boylan's doghouse, despite his ability to be a knockdown 3-point shooter, which this roster and this system desperately needs. But before that, you know, he was coming off a season where he missed all 82 games. He's had continuous issues with ankles, with feet, with knees, all these things. And maybe it's one of the reasons why they stayed away from Michael Porter Jr. in the draft a couple of years ago, because the Bulls were the first team to get a look at his medicals. And maybe they shied away from that, knowing that they've had issues. making good finds of healthy players. Look what Chandler Hutchison has become. You know, a guy who's a first-round pick, yes, late first round, but didn't show much his injury, you know, plagued rookie year, and then again this season has struggled to stay on the court. It could be a scouting issue as well.
Because you brought up the Hutchison example, though, Matt, is a pretty good one, though, because, and not in you know, fan frustrated fans' favor, but the Bulls' favor. I mean, I have to go back and look, but throughout his tenure at Boise State, I'm not sure he missed all that many games. So, you know, like if you got a guy who doesn't have a history of missing games, and then all of a sudden he comes out and can't go into a screen without missing, you know, a chunk of the season.
Yeah.
What do you do with that?
I mean, I guess it means that there was a significantly smaller amount of muscle in the competition that Boise State was playing for his 4 years there.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that, but you know, the guy still played 4 years at a D1 school and didn't show a lot of injury history. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's a tricky topic, and it's one that I don't know that there's some magic formula that the Bulls can use to get this thing fixed.
Because you brought him up, I'm curious on your take about Chris Dunn and the season he has had. He was essentially thrown under the bus by the Bulls front office with some of their comments at the end of last season. And then despite that, despite a bunch of trade rumors, despite the Bulls failing to find a trade partner for him this offseason, he embraced his role as a backup guard with a defense-first job assignment every night. And while he was healthy, was certainly at least a guy, you know, creating steals for this Jim Boylan defense that is so focused on creating those turnovers and getting out in transition. And yes, he has struggled on the offensive end. He's raised his finishing at the rim a little bit, but his three point percentage continues to be a joke of a number. But I'm wondering, Darnell, especially what the Bulls defense has looked like since he went down, if coming into this offseason, we are going to see a higher likelihood of the Bulls deciding to keep Chris Dunn around on a modest contract of some kind, whether that be the qualifying offer or the Bulls matching some offer he might get in restricted free agency. It's a pretty small free agent class this summer, and maybe there are some teams around there who can see, hey, Chris Dunn could really give our bench some solid defensive punch. What do you think is the most likely scenario to play out with the Bulls and Chris Dunn and their future together or apart?
I think he's got to go. I think the Bulls have to let him go. There's just, to me, not much sense in bringing him back. Yeah, his defense is solid, but his offense is such a drawback. What's the word I'm looking for, Matt? It's a liability. And,
yes,
you know, he still can't shoot. I give him a ton of credit for coming off the bench and you know, accepting the role, embracing the role, and in some ways excelling at the role. But at the same time, the other end of the floor matters, especially in today's NBA. And the Bulls just couldn't find a way to hide him enough to where he wouldn't be a liability. And I just don't see the point in bringing back another guard when you just drafted Kobe White 7th. Play the kid. Free up minutes for him. If for no other reason, Chris Dunn doesn't need to be on this roster because Kobe White needs more opportunities.
I think most Bulls fans would probably agree with you in that assessment. One more player I wanted to touch on before I let you go. He's become a bit of a forgotten name in recent weeks because he's been on the shelf with an injury. And there's been hype about Kobe White's recent play. But I'm wondering what you think about the season that Lauri Markkanen had. You've covered him since he entered the NBA. We saw some really promising things. His rookie year, you know, an all-rookie team selection. Second season, you know, got off to that rough start with the elbow injury, but he was able to bounce back from that. Of course, Bulls fans who were optimistic and high on him remember that month of February last season where he averaged 26 and 12 and thought, man, could this be the Lauri Markkanen of the future? But then this season in Jim Boylan's offensive system, he was relegated to an afterthought, a spot-up 7-foot shooter who looked disengaged on most nights before getting this pelvis injury. They're Bulls fans saying, man, like sell Markkanen now and get what you can for him before that trade line happened earlier this month. The Bulls, of course, opted not to do that. Do you think that the expectations for Lowry to make a potential all-star, borderline all-star caliber season jump in his third season were not realistic? Do you think it is a poor system for the player and his skill set? Do you think it's a combination of those things?
No, I don't think they were unrealistic in any way. I mean, look at what he did last February. I know we keep talking about that and hanging on to it as some sort of evidence that he's going to be a star. But he played really well. He put up incredible numbers. And then you look at what he did in that season opener at Charlotte. 35-17 doesn't happen for guys who just, are average players or role players. I mean, that was a heck of a game for marketing. And it wasn't like the first time that we've seen him have those type of monster performances. So go back to his rookie season. I mean, the guy showed flashes of being capable of producing incredible performances. So I don't think the expectations were unrealistic whatsoever. The coaching staff and the system, I think, did hinder him a little bit. And then for whatever reason, I don't know if he added too much muscle. It's still a mystery, but he just never looked right all season. I don't know if it was some sort of injury that he was dealing with. If he was, kind of playing for a contract this summer, who knows? Maybe that pressure got to him. I don't know. But he didn't look right, and I put most of the onus on marketing because there were times where he just didn't take advantage of his opportunities, and that's on him. Regardless of anything else, he had plenty of opportunities that he didn't take advantage of, and he's got to come back a better player.
You've been doing a wonderful job covering the team this season, as you have since you arrived here in Chicago. It's been tough sledding. I mean, the Bulls start a rebuild, and you've had to watch a lot of losing basketball. I'm appreciative, and I know all Bulls fans are, of the great work that you do, the great work that everybody on this Bulls beat does. Is there something that you and your colleagues on the beat this season have found challenging about covering this team, about covering this coach, Jim Boylan, who has had some pretty unbelievable remarks in post-game press conferences and shoot-around sessions with the media? Is there something that is challenging you all to get through this season in a way that you have not been challenged before as an NBA beat writer?
Oh, watching a bunch of shooters who can't shoot threes try to keep shooting threes and a bunch of defenders who are trying to blitz the pick and roll. I mean, that gets old. The same results get old. But just dealing with Jim Boylan is interesting in and of itself. And for us, it's a job, and you just want to be able to do your job. And we have to work with him, and we ask him questions up to 3 times a day on game days, the morning of shoot around, if they have a shoot around, before the game and then after the game. So we got a lot of Jim Boylan that we have to deal with. And, I just think the questioning, the question and answer sessions have become, you kind of got to go into it with a strategy. I'll give you guys a quick little story. In Washington, that Daniel Gafford back and forth with Casey Johnson, I mean, that was almost planned, not the back and forth, but like, okay, how do we get a straight answer out of this guy?
Right.
Daniel Gafford clearly should have, maybe not should have played, but, he was available. He was said to be available, and he did not play in that game. And they played Cornette and Felicio, and everyone, and Washington had like a million paint points. So we're like, right, why not play your best shot blocker? That's what it was. And so it became really in another loss of many for the Bulls this season. The game result didn't necessarily matter, but here was a guy who, had played back in Toronto a few games earlier on that bad ankle, and then all of a sudden he doesn't play, and it had become a storyline. So before the end of the game, we huddled up and tried to ask, who's going to ask Jim Boylan this question? And I really wanted to ask it. But then I also wanted Joe Cowley to ask it, because if you notice, Jim Boylan asked Joe Cowley, he answers Joe Cowley questions better than he answers anyone else's questions. And so right, it's a running joke now that if Joe asks a question, we're actually going to get something that we can use. If anyone else asks a question, we're going to get something about spirit and Bulls across the chest, or who knows what. So Casey said he had a way of answering it, of asking it, to where Jim couldn't avoid it. And you know, the great Casey Johnson. He's done this for so long. He's such a pro. He really did have not only a way of asking it, but a way of following up that really put the onus on Jim Boylan. And those are the types of things that you kind of gotta kind of deal with. And we don't really know why. You know, it kind of seems like they're complicating it more than they need to at this point. They could have just said in that case, you know, for example, that the guy was available, but he's still overcoming this ankle injury and we didn't want to put him out there unless it was for an emergency situation. He could have played, but we just chose not to. That's as simple as it could have been, but they make it sort of more difficult than it needs to be. And that's sort of the Jim Boylan experience that we've grown to know, having been around him for a season and a half now.
Yeah, it certainly feels like herding cats, even just from the perspective of someone watching his sessions with the media, as far as the difficulty of getting a straight answer out of Jim Boylan or anyone in this organization for that matter. Darnell, I really appreciate your time, man. Real quick, you're counting down the games. What is do you have like a light at the end of the tunnel thing that you're looking forward to when this regular season mercifully comes to an end? Like something you got planned, something you're going to do for yourself, treat yourself?
Oh, I'm just looking forward to the summer, man. So I don't have to, watch continued failures on the court. You know, Zach LaVine's been tremendous. I've appreciated watching Kobe White's rookie season and, you know, his ups and downs. I like seeing the growth out of these young players, but it's just been sort of pointless in a lot of ways this year that we just didn't really expect. So, you know, it'd be good to try to get some fresh faces in here, whether that's on the court, on the bench, or in the front office. You know, I'd like to see some new blood, and hopefully this franchise get turned in the right direction this summer. So that's kind of what I'm looking for. But other than that, I'm going to try to stay low-key and enjoy some downtime.
Well, you certainly deserve it. He is Darnell Mayberry, Bulls senior writer for The Athletic. Subscribe to The Athletic if you aren't already to get his amazing content, and also follow him on Twitter at Darnell Mayberry. Darnell, we appreciate the great work that you do. Us Bulls fans appreciate you asking the tough questions that we want answers to. And we're in the home stretch, man. So hang in there and keep up the great work.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for all you do, man. Hopefully these last 20 games will be fun. They got some good teams on the schedule, so if these guys can get sort of healthy, then maybe it'll be entertaining and it'll be a good little finish.
Yeah, at least maybe we could watch some quality basketball in one direction, if not both directions, right?
That's right. Thanks, Matt. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Darnell. Take care. Thanks again to Darnell. Really enjoyed chatting with him, as I always do. He's done a tremendous job covering the Bulls since he arrived here in Chicago, and it has not been an easy job. He, like all of us, is looking forward to when this regular season comes to an end. We can all take a deep breath and forget this ever happened. So that is it for today. Stick around. We'll have another fresh episode tomorrow to steer you into the weekend. Hopefully, Jordan and I will be on the mics together for that one, where we can look ahead to their game against the Knicks on Saturday. Hey, maybe that's a winnable game. So in the meantime, follow us on social media. I'm at Bulls_Peck. He's at Jordan C. Malley. We are at Locked On Bulls. And shoot us those texts and voicemails, 331-979-1369. For my partner, Jordan Malley, and for our guest, Darnell Mayberry, thank you for listening, Bulls Nation. It is always appreciated. We love y'all. Hang in there. Stay strong. See red. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com